You're listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
6 minutes after 9 South African time, let's welcome the listeners of Al Ansar, let's welcome the listeners of Sirius FM, and let's welcome the listeners of Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah Wal Jama'ah. Our WhatsApp number 084-786-3132. International overseas listeners, +27 84 786 3132. Listener wants to know, Ustad, what can be read for high fever? Ustad?
Remember, people, you're suffering from any sickness, disease, read all these Quranic du'as. Number one, Surah 21, chapter 21, Surah Anbiya, verse 83. Wallahu a'lam, Allah alone knows, but some ulama have written that he, Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam, was sick for 7 years. And he used to read this dua, chapter 21, verse 83. Anni massaniya durru. Ya Allah, this calamity and this sickness has struck me. Wa anta arhamur rahimin. And you, Allah, you are the most merciful one to show mercy. When the time came for recovery, Allah Ta'ala gave him great tidings. First the Jabana. We answered your call, O Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam. Everything you hate, Allah is giving you double, double, double everything. So that is Allah. Anni masaniya durru wa anta rahmur rahimin. Read that abundantly. When people are ill and sick, then they go into worry, sorry, depression, anxiety. Read the verse after that, Surah 21, verse 87. La ilaha illa anta subhanak inni kuntu min al-zalimin. That truly it is none worthy of worship but you, O Almighty Allah. Everlasting glory, perfection is for you. I am from the wrongdoers. For me and you, we are the sinners. For Nabi Yunus alayhi salam, I am the one who did and committed the error of judgment. Anbiya alayhi salatu salam wa ma'asum and protected from all vices and sins. So you need to be careful how you translate it. For us, it means sinners. So read it. Allah will remove the worry, sorry, anxiety. That's what Quran is saying. Wa kadhalika nunji al-mu'minin. Read Surah Fatiha 7 times. Blow on yourself. Allah Jalla wa Ala will give you shifa and daily give out charity. Whether you are ill and sick or you are healthy, then Muslim's life is either shukr or either sabr. So either we are the shukr lillah, ya Allah, your ever recurring bounties upon me, so I make shukr. And if problems come, sickness, illness, then it is sabr, but you give out charity in cash or kind daily.
Good evening, guys. I'm Eric. I don't really believe in religion. It is man-made. All these rules are man-made to suit the interests of men. All these wars and discrimination are the result of priests, imams, preaching hate against one another. Why can't we be open-minded? Eric, Ustad.
My brother Eric, we need to be careful when we make sweeping statements and so forth. Your statement is half correct and half wrong. Where you are wrong, you see, if you study Judaism, Christianity, all these other religions, you will find they don't even have a constitution. If you go to the Vatican, you go there to Israel, and you tell them, bring for me the gospel or the Torah, they will bring so many different versions of it that even the virgins get confused and they blow their fuses. So till day you are right, that they are the ones who interpolated it, they brought about additions, omissions. But when you come to Islam, it's not man-made, my brother. It's direct from Almighty Allah and in its pristine purity. Therefore, you must have heard about Ramadan, our fasting month, and where we are fasting, we read the entire Quran by memory in every mosque, millions of Muslims throughout the world. So we are the only people who have memorized the divine constitution, and it is still in its pristine purity, no addition, no omission, no interpolation. So therefore, to say every religion is man-made, that's wrong. Islam is not man-made, it's divine. Yes, that is correct. Some kings, some rulers, they manipulate it, use it, exploit it for their own agenda. Yes, that is true. But remember, Islam in itself is divine. And Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, came as the last and final messenger to expound and to explain to humanity. So the constitution written is the Quran Kareem. 6,236 verses, 114 chapters, and Prophet Muhammad came practically to demonstrate how this constitution must be applied and practiced upon for all times, all situations, all places. So you should understand that, my brother Eric. Now my message to you is this, Eric. You say we must be open about it. So who's stopping the Americans? They are open. Who's stopping the Chinese? They are open. Who's stopping South Africa? They are open. Where? In their parliament. So when you say open, so what did they do? They brought about these things. Now you tell me, Eric, is that a better option or a worse option? They said Adam and Eve, they took the masterpiece of Almighty Allah's creation and relegated it, debased it, and lowered it to the worse than animals. The animal does not go to his same gender, but the certain modern Western democratic countries remember that they say all this is legal and it's a human rights issue. Second one, where they promote prostitution. What will that lady say? She will say, it's my body. I can do whatever I want to with it. Whether I sleep with 50 men or 100 men is not your business. So that is your open society. Third one, when the lady falls pregnant, then she goes for abortion and commits murder. So what is the good of that? You must remember open society. We are sitting with the AIDS pandemic for 50 years now. No vaccine. We are sitting with all these problems now, so many years and decades. So I'm asking you, who is there for all these people? So open society does not work. I'm going to teach you a lesson of life, Eric. I don't know you. I don't even know where you stay. You see, the next time, tonight, tomorrow morning, when you go into your shop, to your job, to work, look at your traffic light and you will see green, you will see orange, you will see red. Once you look at that, so green is revelation, is the Quran, the direct speech of Almighty Allah, is the Sunnah Mubarakah, that is the revelation that came to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to explain to humanity and posterity how to practice on the noble Quran. So green, revelation, always you have to practice. Orange is my intelligence, intellect, and your intelligence and intellect. So when reason and revelation are in conflict with one another, then you don't give your reasoning preference, you must give revelation preference. You know, Eric, you were traveling from Durban to Muslanga, wherever, and on the road you saw water. And when you reached there, it was a mirage, optical illusion. Your own eyes deceived you. So therefore, you can't rely on an open society. Our ears deceive us, our intelligence deceives us, our eyes deceive us. We need something supra-logical, and that is revelation. So green for revelation. Orange, your intellect. And when there's a conflict between reason and revelation, we have to give the green preference over the orange. But when there's a conflict between orange and red, red is our desires. I don't know you, Eric. It's a bad example, but I'll give it nevertheless. You are suffering from diabetes. Example, my brother. And now your desire, bring the pudding, bring the ice cream, bring the dessert, bring this, bring that. That's your desires. So when there is a conflict between orange and red, between your intelligence and desires, that's the time your intelligence must come to the fore and say, no, I will suppress my desires. They will be, it will be very tasty for that moment, but in the long term, it's going to cause me harm. So Islam teaches us this. Desires have a place. Akal, intelligence have a place. And remember, revelation has the place. Put all three in their proper perspective, When I used to teach my students there in Newcastle, I said, we called it the robot institute, robot principle. Because today people say our country is a robot as the key, the intelligent robot. So we took the normal robots. Sometimes our robots don't work in South Africa, courtesy Eskom. But listen to that, and then you will come and become a proper human being, as God Almighty Allah choked out for us.
I see Eric says, I'm a Umhlanga boy. He's lived in Umhlanga. And he's asking, will you be on tomorrow night as well on Ansar? He wants to listen to your program, Ustad.
You must listen to me in the morning on Ansar between 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. So you wake up early and 5:30 we are on. And you pose more questions, okay? So my guess was right, right? So you're staying in Umhlanga. So I told you, you're driving from Durban to Umhlanga. MashaAllah. So tomorrow, 5:30, you must be wide awake, Brother Eric.
SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah. Let's go to Verla Mustad. It's a student of Deen. Respected Mufti Sahab, is there any kitab that speaks about the history of East Africa? And can Mufti Sahib share some information, Ustad, student of Deen?
Yes, you must remember, you must study the whole continent of Africa, then you go West Africa, East Africa, all you will find books, mashallah. You take each country. So I just give you one, two incidents. But today I spoke about it. So you must remember, there was a sheikh, he's from Africa, Sheikh Umar Falata, today or yesterday. Sheikh Umar Falata is our teacher, and subhanallah, he taught hadith in Masjid Nabawi for 49 years. And you know where he used to teach? They are African. They used to give him the honor to teach. He used to sit where Imam Malik used to sit, right next to the Rawda Mubarak, where Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam is resting. So what an honor it was. When we used to go by him, we used to kiss his hand or kiss his forehead. So that is how you must learn about this. You know Somalia? So you must remember, if you study Allama Zaylai, so Allama Zaylai is a scholar from Somalia, and subhanallah, he wrote the commentary on Kanzud Daqaiq, he did work on Hidayah, he did so many great works and so forth. So remember, Africa has produced giants and so forth. So every country you go, then you must look at the Islamic connection, you must remember. Whenever I go Mauritius, I say, give me the history. I go Kenya, I want your history. I go, you understand, Zambia, I give me your history. So that is how, then. I don't want their history, politics, I'm not interested in that. But I'm interested in the Islamic history. How did Islam come here? Who brought about Islam here? Today, Libya, people know Gaddafi, but they don't know, you must remember, that about Umar. So you must remember the lion he was, and how he fought the enemies and so forth. So that is how, that you will read, find in every country that there are certain great, great people who were there. And if you want more, you must buy and procure a copy of this book, Saviors of the Islamic Spirit. But Hazrat Abu Ustad also, Sheikh Maulana Abul Hassan Ali Nadwi Nawarallahu Marqadabu, in English he translated as Saviors of the Islamic Spirit. So they are saviors. Allah chooses some people in different cities, countries and continents.
SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah. Somebody says that if there was no pandemic, there should still be 21 funerals, Ustad. And it says here, Mufti Sahab, did you hear about people in the helicopters in the early part of the morning spraying stuff in the air to make people sick? Ustad?
100%, that is our belief. Every person dies on the appointed time. We got no question about that. It's our belief. But you must remember, therefore, if you don't listen to my words properly, that is your problem. I say, whether you call it pandemic or you call it plandemic, according to me, it's plandemic. You must remember that. That politicians, governments, media, pharmaceutical companies, they in cahoots with one another, and now it is boomeranging on them. How are they bribing up people? How are they bribing up governments? How are they bribing up politicians? And so forth and so on. So we know, according to us, 100% it's a pandemic. But we also must take the necessary precautions as well, because they want to stop, they want, we must suffer in the process. So therefore, therefore, we also must be little bit, you know, use our akal and intelligence. Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu khudu hizrakum. So take your precaution as well.
Somebody says, Ustad, who was the first person to build Masjidul Aqsa? I read in a kitab, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam did some work on the foundation of the masjid as it was built 40 years after the Kaaba Sharif, Ustad.
You, my brother, you're confusing everything and your fuses will get blown if you are reading like that. The Kaaba Musharrafa, the Baytullah, was built first. It's mentioned in the Quran Sharif. Inna awwala baytu hudiya linnas illalladhi bi Bakkah. And by who was it built? Bani Awwal was Nabi Adam alayhi salam. 40 years after that, he, Nabi Adam alayhi salatu salam, went to Jerusalem, Al-Quds al-Sharif, and Baytul Muqaddas, Masjidul Aqsa, was built by him. And that's the hadith you are speaking of, Abu Dharr radiallahu anh, mentioned in Bukhari Sharif. So who is the initial builder, founder? Nabi Adam alayhi salam, from Masjidul Haram in Makkah and Masjidul Aqsa. Thereafter, time went on, then the reconstruction of the Baytullah Kaaba Musharrafa took place by Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam and his beloved son, Nabi Ismail alayhi salam. Wa idh yarfa'u Ibrahimul qawa'ida min al-bayti, wa Ismail enshrined in the Quran. And the reconstruction of Masjidul Aqsa, remember, took place by Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam. The hadith is mentioned in Sunan Nasai. After he completed, he made three du'as. One du'a I just mentioned, Rabbi Habli, Mulkal la yambaghi li ahadin min ba'di. Chapter 38, verse 35, Ya Allah, grant me such a magnificent kingdom that you don't grant anybody after me. So that is the unanimous belief of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah.
Somebody says, Mufti Iki, I would like to know, going forward in my life, I am very alone, isolated from families. So, the listener says, so fear strikes me at times based on the challenges of this world. How should I be mindset wise? And more importantly, what dua can I read, Ustad, for my strength to face the challenges to come?
My brother, I don't know you. I'm assuming you are a brother, but you seem to be what we will call in Memon, Wemila. Wemila means you seem to have a lot of doubt. You need to build your self-confidence. You need to place your trust in Almighty Allah. Why are you alone? When last you visited your uncle, your auntie? When last you visited your parents? When last you visited your siblings? So these are the questions. Say today, I'm making plan. Wednesday is public holiday. So now I'm going to visit this one, that one. You made the arrangements. So you must become proactive. And in that way, things will work out. Ana akunu ala dhanni abdi bi. Habibuna rahmatulil alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah jalla wala states, we call this hadith a Qudsi, and this is authentic open Mishkat Musnad Ahmad. I will treat my servant as you think of me and you believe in me. So believe Allah is most merciful. Allah ta'ala is most kind. Allah ta'ala is most generous. Allah is most loving, everything. So you must use that to your advantage. So how are you going to eliminate all this fear and all this wahm and doubt you have? So read with me. Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. Allah is sufficient for us. Allah is the best one to take care of our matters and affairs. Chapter 3, verse 173. And then you read Surah 22, verse 78. فَنِئِمَ الْمَوْلَىٰ وَنِئِمَ النَّصِيرِ. Ya Allah, you are the best protector. Ya Allah, you are the best helper. So the whole dua, you will combine the two. حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِئِمَ الْوَكِيلِ فَنِئِمَ الْمَوْلَىٰ وَنِئِمَ النَّصِيرِ. Then you lacking that confidence, self-confidence. Say, Surah 54 verse 10. Chapter 54 verse 10. Nabi Nuh alayhi salatu salam, he tried every way possible to invite his people. But they were arrogant. When they would see him, they would cover their faces. We don't want to see you. They would insert their fingers in their ears. We don't want to hear you. Quran says all that. Open Surah Nuh. Verses 5, 6, 7, you will find it there. Anyway, so what did he do? Surah 54, chapter 54, verse 10. فَدَعَا رَبَّهُ أَنِّي مَغْلُوبٌ فَانْتَصِرْ. Oh Allah, I'm overpowered. I'm overwhelmed. You defend me. You assist me. You help me, Ya Allah. So you speak to Allah, my brother, and give out charity and build your confidence and interact with your families. They won't eat you up. You are causing self-destruction by there. One man, one vote. There's a thing in some place there. Say, no, if I go there, this will happen. All this are waswasa of shaitan. Read, Qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq, Qul a'udhu bi rabbil nas abundantly.
Ustad, there's the anonymous from Johannesburg. It says that an alim in the Benoni area, dear Muftisa, performed the janaza salah of a marhuma. The alim performed the janaza salah with his feet on his shoes, and no parda was put from the mayat, leaving the box till the qabr, and the brothers who went into the qabr, Ustad, had their shoes on. Is this valid when burying a marhuma? Ustad, anonymous.
When you'll ask questions, don't take the names of the town and all that. Now, there'll be nobody knew of that incident. Now, every Maulvi, they will see, they say, must be this guy, must be this guy, must be this guy. There are 2,000 Maulvis in Benoni. So, you must remember. So, don't send name, a place's name. Just ask your question. So, yeah, according to the question we answer, you must remember three things happened. The Maulana, the Imam or whoever, when he performed the Janaza Salat, he just stood in his shoes. Is that right? No, it's wrong. Remember Nabi Musa alayhi salam, Allah Ta'ala said, فَخَلَعْنَا عَلَيْكَ إِنَّكَ بِالْوَادِ الْمُقَدَّسِ تُوَى. Remove your shoes, your sandals. So for us, we go with our shoes everywhere, bathroom, toilet, here and there. Even if there's no napaki, the possibility of napaki is there. So to say that you read Salat on that, there's different things. Salatul Janaza is valid, but is it right? No, it's not right. So that's number one. Number two, go to Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha. Sayyidatu Nisa'i Ahlil Jannah. She is the leader of the women in Jannah. She told Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anha, this is 6 months after the demise of Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during the month of Ramadan, that, O Ali, my beloved husband, see, no man, strange man saw me, saw my, you know, body and so forth. And so when you're going to bury me, you must put a sheet, you must put a cover. So nobody, even Badal Wafat, Badal Maut, can see my shape and so forth. Look at the haya, the shame, the morality, modesty she had. Bintu Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, leader of the women in Jannah. So that is how that started, you must remember that. And she passes away in Ramadan, in the 11th year of the Hijrah. فَمَا ضَحِكَتْ قَتُّ. After the wafat and demise of the Master, alayhi salam, hadith in Bukhari Sharif, she never really smiled and laughed, she was so sad. So Sayyidina Ali went, buried her, that parda, that sheet was put. Whenever we have a lady, we must do that. If they didn't do that in Benoni or Haman's Kraal or wherever, the whole burial committee, you are guilty of a major crime. Remember that. So that I'm taking your name because the question was like that. So that is wrong. What is wrong is wrong. Then third part they mentioned is some people went into the grave again with their shoes and all this. Again is wrong. You must remember that. You see, when I was in Canada, when I was here and there, New Zealand and so many places with Allah's help. So sometimes, because I'm the guest, you know, so they tell me, perform the janaza. I said, it's fine, no problem. Then I have to go and see how they bury, you know. I was astonishment, amazement. In Canada, that when they had to, that they told me, we perform the janaza. They brought the crane, like, you know, and that crane then just put the body down. Nobody went down into the grave and so forth. And then they closed up and then it's flat. Everybody walking on the graves and everything like that. I told that Maulana afterwards when we were alone, I said, Maulana, main to dua karta hu kabhi bhi mera intikal yaha Canada mein na ho jaye. I don't want to die in this place here. This is desecration of the Muslim and our kubur and all these things here. So we heading in that direction nowadays. So you must remember that people now showing so much disrespect. It's not about jais and not jais. You have to show respect to the deceased. You must remember this type of things here. So remember, you, whichever burial committee you are in, you must do things properly, otherwise don't become part of the committee. Fulfill your duty with beauty.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Someone says here, Ustad, I've been noticing that in recent janazas, Some people have been giving azan after burying the dead. Can you please provide clarification on this to start?
The hadith is in Sahih Muslim. Remember, Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man ahdatha fi amrina hadha ma laysa minhu fawaraddun." So when people bring new things in religion, so remember that is rejected and not permissible. So in time of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, janazas took place. Time of the Khulafa, janazas took place. Time of the, you must remember, the Sahaba who ruled after that. Time of Tabi'in, Awliyaullah, the four schools. Nowhere ever is mentioned you must do that. So one crooked Maulvi came and he told his people to do that. And if you ask him why, he said, "Take shaitan bhag jayega." The shaitan will run away, so that person will give the right answers. So when they told me that, so I told him, tell that Maulvi before he go to the toilet also he must give azan. Because remember, in the toilet also the shaitan. What Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, that is what we must do. You don't bring your own ideas and concoctions and fabrications in deen. So you want to go to the washroom, bathroom, toilet? Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'is. So that time to give azan after the burial and so forth, definitely not permissible in Islam, according to all four schools. Shafi'is, Malikis, Hanbalis, Hanafis, there's consensus on that issue.
Well, it's time for our interval. We're going to go, inshallah. When we come back, definitely, inshallah, we will continue what the last half an hour with the Q&A. Don't go away. Stay tuned.